Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you into the 7 o'clock hour we go. Matt Schaub was on In the Loop yesterday with John and Landry. Asked him, we'll get to some of his thoughts on D'Amico Ryans. Thought this was interesting. This was one of the very last questions of the interview. How does Matt Schaub feel as he's watching from afar the Texans kind of unravel over the last couple years?
It's difficult because, I can go back to when I first came to Houston and how much work went into building a winner and building a division champ and getting multiple trips to the playoffs. You know, I knew what that took and I knew how hard that was. And to see what has taken place, because the other thing, spending 7.5 years in that city, and I know how the fan base is. I know how the people in the community, you know, the team can really bring people together and you know, be excited about something. And it has been tough to watch because you know a lot of the people that are tied to the team and connected and some of the people that are still working there. And you just want to see success for them and for the city and for the team. And because it was such an important and integral part of, you know, my journey through my playing career. And so that has been tough to watch. But, you know, things do come around. And so it's just about, you know, getting the right personnel and the right people and the right pieces in place. And then making it happen because, you know, it's a crazy game from one year to the next. Just look at what Jacksonville's done.
Yeah, he's right. It can flip quickly. I think Schaub, if we were to go through former Texans who have the most complex relationship with the fan base in Houston, I think there's some that are gone now that are just disliked, like Deshaun Watson, by and large. Not speaking for everybody, but I think generally speaking. And then there's obviously several that are incredibly popular. Mm-hmm. We know who those are. Schaub is an interesting one to me. That's why I was anxious to hear the answer to that question. I didn't expect some sort of explosive thing where he was like, you know what? It ended pretty badly with the Texans, so go screw themselves. But when you think about it, like Schaub, he played his best football here. I think you could argue that the team as a franchise played its best football while he was the quarterback. I think there are a lot of reasons they played their best football, but he was a big one. I think if he doesn't get hurt in 2011, that team was the best chance for this franchise to win a Super Bowl over the course of its 20-year history. And yet, I don't know that I can think of a player who had a bigger on-field. Deshaun's collapse, obviously, was very, very different. You know, however you categorize the Deshaun thing is semantics. On-field collapse, I don't think you can think of a bigger nor more important one than Matt Schaub.
Which was, intertwined with everything, like drastic change in the organization.
Led to Bill O'Brien.
Because of it. Yeah. I mean, Gary Kubiak gets fired and all of that. It's not like they went directly from Matt Schaub into what the last 2 years were. So it wasn't, in hindsight, I do feel it's unfortunate that at the time with Schaub in that season, like I went from a period in the first half of the season where I was really PO'd at Schaub himself. And then in the second half of the season, I realized, okay, he's physically a different thrower of the football than he was before.
Something's up.
Going on here. Yeah, and it was strange because he had come back from the Liz Frank and he'd been productive statistically the previous year. But when you go back with it and analyze it, you could see where things had actually started to. If it weren't for such an opportunistic defense in 2012, a lot of Schaub's issues would have probably been more apparent in 2012.
Yeah.
But it got ugly. It was unfortunate. I feel like that was also when social media was kicking it into high gear in a lot of ways, and like every bit of ugliness that might previously have been just confined to backyards was like out there for the world to see.
Yeah.
So we like one or two people burn a jersey and all of a sudden it becomes, oh, the whole city's burning Schaub jerseys.
Yeah.
One whack job shows up in front of his house and it turns into, you know, that the
city
is lying against him. Yeah.
I think it might have been Fred Davis who wrote the article for the website here.
About
him, literally, I think the word, I wasn't with the station at the time. I was about 3 months away or 2 months away from starting to work here. But I remember the word was accosted. He was accosted in his driveway.
It was.
It had me looking up the definition of the word accosted.
Well, it was because the Texans gave a kind of a aggressive denial of it.
Yeah.
But like Fred was an actual reporter. Fred had worked police beats and stuff before. Kind of like Brandon Scott. Now, there's times when things happen in sports now where it's so nice to have somebody who's an actual news reporter that like has like knows exactly how to like what you should and should not, what you can and cannot report. So yeah, like that was another weird part of it. Like the Texans kind of like issued denials of stuff that were true. Let's see. According to CBS Houston radio host Fred Davis, at least two angry fans showed up at Matt Schaub's home. One told him off for his poor play, and the other took photos of his family and posted them online. The fans left before police could arrive, and Schaub and the Texans contacted NFL security.
Yeah.
That was ugly.
Yeah. You're a certain bad kind of human being if you do that stuff. Like showing up at people's houses.
Super drunk. I mean, you know.
What are you doing?
What's his name? Tom Cruise there in all the right moves.
You're a bad human being or a bad drunk. Oh, yeah, that's true.
All those guys had probably just watched All the Right Moves.
And watched Bosco and the guys show up at Nickerson's house.
Yeah, and say you're just nothing but a typing teacher.
Yeah. All the Right Moves.
Yeah.
I think ages pretty well. I think anybody that grew up in a tight high school football community,
yeah,
I think it's like 1983, 1984, Tom Cruise, probably the least realistic part. He's a very short, white cornerback who's highly recruited by colleges around the country.
Yeah, blows his chance at Division One
at a ride.
Because he's who has like some of the worst timing you've ever seen in a football player.
Yeah, he's not very good. And when he wears a neck roll, too.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the neck. Well, he's a hard-hitting safety back in the day, you know. Was he a safety or a corner?
Was he a corner? Yeah, he's a corner.
Corner who runs like Tom Cruise.
Yes.
Goofy ass.
Yes.
Yeah, and but a relatively wholesome for the kids, other than the part where Leah Thompson strips down to her heavy thermal underwear.
Her thermal underwear. Yeah. But she, as Ted Johnson would say, did gear down up top.
Oh, she did?
You do get a gratuitous boob shot in
there. I didn't know that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, you do. I remember.
That'd be on lockdown in my brain from my
12-year-old
well.
Days. Okay. Yeah.
So Leah Thompson and Tom Cruise, if you, that's a good movie. Yeah.
I would say, yeah, if you're someone who, if you're worried about guys like me and Seth recommending 80s and 90s movies to you, and you're like, well, you guys recommended XYZ, and I was like, why am I watching this? If you're a football fan, particularly a fan of high school football, I think All the Right Moves ages well.
Yeah. It was probably the most attention the 6'2 stack monster has ever gotten as a defense.
Since.
Yeah,
yes.
And still is a solution to many of life's problems, both literally and metaphorically.
Yep.
So, and Craig T. Nelson, was that his debut as a football coach?
Before he'd go on to play a coach
in about 7 different vehicles
after
that.
Hey, man, if you're going to be typecast at something that goes and gets 200 episodes in syndication.
So,
it's the old rule.
So basically, Matt Schaub, Tom Cruise.
Same guy.
No, Tom Cruise would have harassed Matt Schaub.
Yeah, he would have,
Tom Cruise is the guy dumping garbage in Matt Schaub's yard.
Yep, sure was.
So, since we've talked about this for four minutes, Craig T. Nelson plays a football coach of a small town in PA that's rabid about football.
Yep.
Might as well be West Texas. And Tom Cruise doesn't want to work in the steel mills like his dad and his uncles. He wants to go to college.
Yeah.
And he's highly recruited, but he's kind of in a little SOB.
Yep.
And one night he gets drunk and goes and defaces the lawn of the head football coach.
Well, he had gotten kicked off the team. Well, I don't want to spoil everything.
Yeah. Well, remember, too, he had Remember, he had also...
Here's the whole movie for you.
Well, yeah, he's turning his nose up at Division II schools,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, that was one of the big things. All right, no more. You got to go watch it and report back to us. More Matt Schaub. Matt, when you met D'Amico Ryans, when you watched him operate, did you think he would eventually be a coach?
Yes, you could tell. Just his leadership ability, how he communicated, his knowledge. Again, going back to just not only knowing the game, but wanting to know it from different perspectives. You know, when you have that, you can tell that if you want to coach, and obviously, I mean, he had a choice. He didn't have to do this, but he wanted. He loves the game. He has a passion for it. And you can see that when you watch him coaching now. And but just you could see it, and it was just a matter of his will to want to do it. And you can see that he's attacked it full head and just really immersed himself into the coaching life. And, you know, you can tell he's just enjoying the heck out of it.
It is an interesting vetting process that Schaub alluded to there when he said he doesn't need to do this. He wants to do it. And I think part of what's baked into that answer is D'Amico's made a lot of money. Like, yeah, he got paid. And I do think, like, that's probably, if I'm asking myself, okay, is this guy just going for the bag here? Or does he really love coaching? D'Amico doesn't have to coach.
It is 100% one of those things where if you're doing it for the money, you're not going to be that good at it.
Right.
Like, no, they don't. Not to say that the money can't be a motivator, but there has to be something beyond the money to drive you to do that. Like, it, in any coach, in any sport, in anything, like, they're just obsessed about it. And I think that what Schaub said there and what he has said before, including back when Schaub was a player, and because I've gone back and found articles from back in the day, like, that is a common theme about D'Amico, was him trying to understand things from the offense's perspective. And in Philadelphia, one of his coaches said, one of the defense coordinators said that when they basically would have two separate game plans, one for when D'Amico was in the game and one when he wasn't, and the one for when D'Amico was in the game was way more advanced. And that happens. If you got a couple of your field generals that can change, like the entire, can change play calls based on formation and actually get it communicated and executed properly, it's hard to do. It's hard to do in real time with crowd noise. Sometimes at home it's worse than on the road because of the crowd noise on the defensive side of things. And D'Amico is that guy. Like, there are football IQ things that go on as a linebacker that are way above and beyond just instinct, and very few guys have been as good at it as D'Amico, and it's because he studied the hell out of it. That's where it's one of the reasons I feel better about him working with an offense and a young quarterback, because this is not a student of defense. He's been a student of the entire game since he was 19 years old.
How do you think, though? Yeah, you know, you're a head coach. You got to look at the whole thing. I get it. And this team's probably going to take a quarterback with the number 2 overall pick.
Yeah.
So that's going to factor into any head coaching candidate's evaluation of the Texans as a job. But D'Amico's a defensive guy. He was the brains of every defense that he played on. How much do you think weighs in right now to D'Amico looking at this job, the pieces currently on the defense, obviously the potential to add to that? Like, when he looks at this defense,
yeah,
do you think he looks at something and goes, man, I got a lot of work to do here? Or do you think he's excited about some of it? How would you look at it?
I think he'd be really excited about the secondary.
Okay.
I think that with Stingley, he's going to see areas for opportunities. I do think, too, that on the managing young players side of things, one thing that his players have talked about is, like, he's got that mix of being able to understand players, relate to them, but also still hold them accountable, which becomes that father figure type of coach that you just really don't want to let down. And that goes a long ways, because that's what really sticks and creates a team environment. Was when you have a coach that you just really don't want to let down, you feel awful about it when you screw up because you've disappointed your coach. Like, D'Amico has that kind of personality. And I think for young guys like Stingley and Petrie and any of those other young guys, that goes a long way. I think Damian Pierce will flat out, like, Damian Pierce would literally fight a cougar for D'Amico Ryans. That's a kind of like, that's how much Demi- I will predict that for Damian Pierce. I'm not speaking for him. I will predict that he would fight a cougar.
A dangerous animal.
I feel like Damian Pierce might fight a cougar just on a bet anyway. But he would definitely do it for Demi.
It'd be great if he went over to U of H but, and he started beating up the mascot.
Or just Chef. Students. Yeah. Just beating up cougars.
You're a cougar. You're a cougar.
Terminator.
That's it.
Terminator of the malfunction.
Hey, Ben, let's skip to Schaub 6 here because the offense is going to be a big deal for the Texans. And what is DeMeco? I think everybody assumes that DeMeco Ryans is going to bring in, if he were to become the Texans head coach, would bring in somebody off of that Kubiak-Shanahan tree because that's what he was brought up in or brought up near, at least, and he's familiar with it. John and Landry asked him, could he bring in a Kubiak to run the offense?
I mean, the name has a lot of weight behind it. So there could be that possibility. I have no insider information on that. So you're not getting anything out of me.
Okay. Must have been the way they asked the question, because the question is fairly benign, right? Hey, do you think Kubiak might do something here? I listened to the interview, but I just don't remember what led into Schaub cackling at the beginning
answer. I mean, because Gary Kubiak has kind of been like dragged back. I don't want to say dragged back in, but kind of lured back into coaching a couple times now.
Sure.
Has it been three times where he's been brought back into the fold where you thought he was out for good?
Since here, he's been the OC at Baltimore, then the head coach in Denver, and then Minnesota.
Well, okay, so in Denver, there was one year where he was really close to retiring, and then he came back. So I almost
might have been after they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so I'll count that as one of the years. And then the Minnesota thing, too. I think at first it started off as maybe he was going to be a consultant, and he just kind of got wrapped back up into it. I feel like he's probably 100% done with it by now.
Maybe.
I think he might come back as a consultant.
What if they hired Clint Kubiak? Clint Kubiak, who's on the Niners staff.
Yeah.
Just interviewed yesterday for the Buccaneers OC job.
With Clint Kubiak, you have to be very, very careful and be sure that you're not just hiring the name.
Yeah.
Because Gary Kubiak, as an offensive coordinator, regardless of how you feel about him as a coach, his imprint is all over these offenses in the league right now. And a lot of it is, I think, him being able to kind of pick apart the details of things. And just if he's got a job where he's just kind of sitting around watching film of the Texans and then giving his notes to players, I bet that would be very good for him to do. As far as Clint Kubiak goes, there is something, like Kyle Shanahan is this way. I think a lot of quarterbacks whose fathers are coaches, Bill Belichick, whose father was a coach, the guys that are actually really genuinely absorbed in it from the time they're 12, it's kind of like those early computer programmers like Bill Gates and those guys. One of the reasons they were so brilliant was because they had more time with computers when they were younger than other people did at that time. They were just absorbed in it. So with football coaches, kids of football coaches, they start talking to their dads at an early age, and they see the game differently. It's almost like they feel the game instead of see it. And that's the one angle that is intriguing. Now, there's plenty, trust me, that don't get that. But if Clint were that kind of guy, that would be pretty cool.
Yep.
I'd like a Kyle Shanahan type guy in my life.
I do think, they shouldn't do any of this stuff based on approval ratings by us or the fans. Yeah. But if they hired DeMeco, we know that'll get a huge approval rating. We know if they draft a young quarterback, Young or Stroud, I think will get a big approval. If they hire someone to run the offense who's got the last name Kubiak, for the time being, it'll get a great approval rating. You know what I mean? Like it turns out Clint may be a fraction of what his dad was as a call player or an architect of an offense. But again, that's something that would give this franchise a little bit juice going into the 2023 season.
Yeah, I guess there is. That's the part where I guess I've been defending the Texans and saying like the DeMeco Ryans hire would not be because of sentimentality or anything. It certainly helps that they know him and know his personality and character a lot, but there is a part of me that's like, okay, let's not try to recreate 2011 like it was a championship season or something.
Yeah, don't make the coaching staff a family reunion.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I get that. I understand that. All right, the NFL.com has a list of the unsung heroes on each of the AFC teams, the overlooked players. Does the overlooked player on this list prove that NFL.com was completely overlooking the Texans all season long? We will get to that next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy,
celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.